Glory to God. May God bless our worship team and all the singers of Emmanuel Church. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's dig right into the Word of God. And the word for tonight's message in English, you'll find it in the first letter that Apostle Peter wrote. And we will read the first five verses of chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles with you, please open them up to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Know that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Amen. May God bless this word. May God bless all of you. And may God bless all of us through this word. Amen. It's so good to be again here together. Brothers and sisters, in the house of the Lord, in his presence. And I pray that God continues speaking to us tonight. I pray really that he will fill our hearts with joy, with peace. And more than that, I pray that he will fill our hearts with the desire or with the wish of getting closer and closer to him. In fact, that's my title of tonight's message, Getting Closer to God. I think that's what we need in these days, what we're living, right? So listen one more time to verse 3 and the first part of verse 4 in our main text. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness, you are coming to Christ, or come closer to Christ. In Romanian, it sounds a little bit more like a command. Dacă ați gustat în adevăr că bun este Domnul, apropiați-vă de El. Now, you all know the world that we're living in is upside down, right? It's not the easiest place right now to be in. These times that we're living today, they're increasingly, or they become increasingly insecure. And as a homework, if you have time, beside the Bible reading plan that we already set up for our church, please take a few minutes and read chapter 3 out of 2 Timothy. In this chapter, you will see how Apostle Paul describes and tells us about these times. He says there that the last days, there will be very difficult times. He describes that in these difficult times, in the last days, people will be lovers of selves, lovers of money. People will be arrogant, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, and so on and so on. And I think that we all witnessed this already with our own eyes, that Apostle Paul is right, or was absolutely right. That these times that we're living in today, they are exactly how he described those, right? And sometimes, I don't know, we feel that these times that we're living today, they're not safe at all. We don't know what tomorrow brings, right? We don't know what the day of tomorrow, what new laws they will bring us. New laws against the values that God gave us regarding our families, in regard to how we have to raise our children. And you'll see, after a time, there will be new laws regarding our church maybe, our faith in God, because we have very creative politicians. And let me tell you at this point, we have to pray more for this country, for our politicians, for the leaders of this country. Amen? So like I said, sometimes we really feel that the days that Apostle Paul described here are coming closer and closer, right? We feel how the last days are getting closer. Hate, recklessness is increasing. There will be persecution, war everywhere, right? And did you realize that every single thing that Apostle Paul mentions there, we already have that in these days that we are living? And now we're here tonight and we ask ourselves, what can we do? I'm asking, what can we do in these times? Should we be afraid? Should we fall in despair? What solutions do we have, brothers and sisters? Peter says here in our main text, now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness, come to Christ, come closer to Christ. How often did we taste the kindness of the Lord? How often did we experience the goodness of the Lord? The goodness of the one who said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. The goodness and the kindness of the one who said, I am with you always. Now listen to that, what he says through Isaiah in Isaiah 43 verse 2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Brothers and sisters, this is our God. And that's why he deserves all the glory and all the honor. And God showed us his goodness and his kindness already in so many ways. And do you believe me that when I'm telling you that the simple fact that we're here tonight in his house, in his presence, has something to do with his kindness? I mean, we could have been sick at home, in a hospital, maybe, I don't know, in a wheelchair, having a hard time coming to church. We could have been wretched, famished, empty, hungry on the street. But the fact that we are here tonight in his house, the fact that we have our daily bread, the fact that we have peace in our families, that's only because of the goodness of the Lord. That's only because of the kindness that we taste every single day, even right now while we are here in his presence. And because we have tested this kindness and because we have always seen how good our God is to us, Peter brings us here the best solutions for these times, for today's times that we're living in. He says, come to Christ, get closer to Christ. Now, my first point is, when we approach God, when we come closer to God, how can we do that, or how do we have to be? Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Here we can read how we have to be when we get closer to God. Let's approach God, first of all, with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. So you cannot come closer to God. You cannot approach him anyway, however you want it, right? I mean, when you have an appointment with your boss, or let's say the mayor of Anaheim invites you to his office, I think that we really take care how we go there, right? How we dress ourselves, how we speak to him, how we behave. Because in the end, we need something from him, yeah? And that's why we are very attentive to the smallest details. So I'm asking you, do you think that we can approach God, the God of heaven and earth, the only one, the holy one? Do you think that we can approach him however we want? For sure not. We just read it in verse 22 of Hebrews 10. We have to approach God with a sincere and with a pure heart, brothers and sisters. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." So you approach God and you can see God only then when you have a pure and a sincere heart. And God looks into our hearts, and you know what? God knows our hearts pretty well. And that's why he said through prophet Isaiah in 29:13, "These people, they honor me only with their lips, but with their hearts, they are far away from me." Or in Luke 16, verse 15, we read that God knows your hearts. So our greatest concern when we approach God, when we get closer to God, is that we have to take really good care of our hearts. When we found Jesus, or when we came to Jesus, we surrendered to him with all of our hearts. And that's why our heart should beat only for him. Our heart should beat only for his glory. Our heart should be his temple where the Holy Spirit can live. Or why else do you think that God says in Proverbs 4:23, "Guard your heart above all else"? Why does he tell us that? Guard your heart above all else. You know why? Because of Matthew 12:34. "For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." And now let's go back one more time to our main text in 1 Peter 2 and listen again to verse 1. "So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech." And there is another very similar verse to this one. It's verse 31 from Ephesians 4, where Apostle Paul says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior." Because all of these things, they're stretching your heart. They dirty your heart, yeah? All of these harsh words spoken by anger, by bitterness, or the way how we manifest ourselves next to other people, or sorts of inappropriate moods that are not according to God's will. All of these things keep us far away from God. But I'm sure that all of us who are here tonight, we want to get closer to God, right? So all we have to do for that is get rid of all of these things, what we just mentioned, and then we also need a pure and sincere heart. And I will read one more last verse in this direction. James chapter 4, verse 8. Let's see what Jesus' brother says here. "Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." Like I said at my introduction, the times that we're living in right now are not easy, right? The day of tomorrow, we don't know what the day of tomorrow will bring. Fear encompasses more and more people. But in such hard times, the safest and the best place for us to be is close to God. The best place for us is right next to God. But only those with a pure heart can approach him in first place. Secondly, then, let's see one more condition that we need to have when we come closer to God. Let's go back to verse 22 of Hebrews 10. Let's approach him with a sincere and pure heart. We had that. And now let's approach him in full assurance of faith. I mean, we all know that it is impossible to please God without faith, right? But let's continue this verse. "It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." Of course, all of us know that we need faith, right? And we need not any faith. No, we need a strong, authentic, and genuine faith. And with the help of this faith, we can get closer to God. But my question tonight is, are we sure that we have such a faith? When was the last time that we tested or verified our faith? Because we have to do that. Constantly, we have to test and to verify the quality of our faith. Because a lot of people, they confuse faith with religion. But listen what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourself. So he repeats that twice. And me personally, I also have to verify my life of faith. And the best moment to do that is when there comes an attempt, when there comes a disease, or when I'm facing trouble and problems. Faith, it says in Hebrews 11, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. And now listen to that, Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. And let me tell you this. Today, when the world is upside down, today is the time when we need it the most. Today is the time when we need the most his mercy and his grace. And when we come closer to him, that's the place where we find his mercy and his grace, because he is the God of mercy and he is the God of grace. But for that, we need a strong and genuine faith, a faith that cannot be shaken. David says in Psalm 31, 14 to 15, but I'm trusting you, O Lord, saying, you are my God. My future is in your hand. And then Psalm 91, it's a very beautiful and very interesting verse. I won't read the entire verse, but let's pick a few verses out. In verse 1, it says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High. In other words, those who approach God with full faith. Verse 2, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. And then from verse 3 to 8, it says, do not be afraid of absolutely anything. Verse 9, again it says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, verse 10, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. Brothers and sisters, it's so worth it to come closer to God with a pure heart, with full faith, and of course, with full confidence. Because you know what? When we are close to him, you are on the safe side. Whatever happens tomorrow, whatever problems you will face tomorrow, when we are next to God, we have absolutely no reason to fear. And I say this from the bottom of my heart. I pray that God washes and cleans our hearts, and may he also fill our hearts with real and holy faith. Amen? And I want to close the second point by reading 5 verses, please. So I will read out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 39. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Glory to God. Amen. Last time, let's go back to our main text in 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let's reread it. Know that you have had taste of the Lord's kindness. You are coming to Christ. Get closer to Christ. Now in my third point, I want to bring you a few examples of people who got closer to Christ. And with that, I want to point out how important it is to get closer to God. Because only there you will feel safe, and only there you will receive his blessings. So my first example, you'll find it in Luke chapter 7, from verse 36 to verse 50. In this passage here, we see how a sinful woman comes to Jesus in the house of a Pharisee. And now listen to verse 38. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. And I won't read the entire story, but look at the final verses, verse 48 and verse 50. Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." In verse 50, and Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This woman, brothers and sisters, she was so desperate of the state or of the condition she was in. It was a state of sin. Her conscience condemned her. Maybe she couldn't sleep anymore. She had sleepless night. She was troubled by her condition, but she found the safest place. She found the most suitable place for her state that she was in at this moment, because she got closer to Jesus. She fell at his feet. And what did she find there at his feet? She found forgiveness, she found salvation, and she found peace. Glory to God. Second example, also in Luke, here in chapter 8, verse 41, here we see a man named Jairus. Verse 41, then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. Jairus, he had a sick daughter at home. And by the time that Jesus came to his house or reached his house, it was already too late. The girl was dead, right? But Jesus, in verse 45, he takes her hand and he says with a loud voice, "My child, get up." And the girl immediately got up. So you see that also Jairus, he knew exactly where he has to go. He approached Jesus. He came closer to Jesus. And the Lord blessed Jairus, and the Lord blessed his entire family. My third example, it's the same chapter here. In the middle of this happening, if you see in verse 43 to 48, there was another woman who was sick. And she suffered for over 12 years with constant bleeding. And she also came closer to Jesus. She was walking through the crowd, coming closer to Jesus. And now listen to verse 44. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. And then in verse 48, we can also see that this woman was saved. So when you come to Jesus, brothers and sisters, your condition that you are in, your state that you are in, changes completely. You will not be the same anymore. If you come to Jesus with your sins will be forgiven. If you come to him with sickness, with suffering, well, in the name of Jesus, there is healing. When you come to him with other needs, with your problems, with your difficulties, no doubt that he will take care of your problems like he took care of the problems of these people out of these examples. Amen? And there are a lot more examples in the Bible, but there is one more that comes to my mind in Luke 10:39. Here in Bethany, in the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, in verse 39, Luke 10:39, it says here that Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. And you know, brothers and sisters, if we want to listen to the word of the Lord, well, first of all, we have to get closer to him. We have to read the Bible, the Word of God, and we have to come here to church where the Word of God is preached. In John 6:68, where the 70 disciples left, the Lord asks the remaining ones in verse 67, "Are you going to leave?" And Peter responds to him in verse 68, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life." So when you come closer to God, when we come to God, He gives us the word of eternal life. He gives us the word of truth and the word that fills us with safetiness, especially in these times that we are living. So this was my message for tonight, brothers and sisters. And before I go down, I want to make you one more invitation, because I really want, and that's my wish, but it's not about what I want. I think that's what God wants from us. If we have tasted His goodness and His kindness, then let's get closer to God every single day, brothers and sisters. And there we will be blessed, there we will feel safe, and we will be a delight in God's eyes. Amen? May God bless you all. Amen.